back in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and when they listened to Satan, who came in the form of the snake, if you remember that story, Adam and Eve decided to go listen to the snake and do what they wanted rather than what God said. And ever since then, this entire creation has been under the rule of Satan. And in our reading, in verse 31, it says, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." And the ruler of this world is Satan, but there is a promise there. He will be cast out. And so a lot of atheists say, if God is real, if there is a God, he can't be a good God, because there's so much sin and so much terribleness in the world, like wars and people getting sick and dying and car crashes and when you stub your toe and things like that. And so if there is a God, he can't be good. But a truth of the Bible is, there is no fault in God. God is pure goodness and light and life. And we know this because it's shown to us in the life of Jesus. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, did he start any wars? No, he brought peace. And did he make anyone sick or did he kill anyone? Of course not. He healed people and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And so it's clear to see that God is good and there's no darkness in God. And we know that God, in Micah 6:3, says, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." And so God hasn't changed from when he came in the person of Jesus to when he went back up to heaven. He's not angry and mean up there now. He hasn't changed. He's always been the same. And he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so all the evil in the world is the work of Satan. And we've all been affected by bad things that have happened. You know, loved ones that have died. Whenever we get sick, or if we get depressed, or even suicidal, like, this is the work of Satan. This is his realm. And you can see why God created a place like hell for Satan. The evil and the darkness, it's right that it's punished in a place of hell. And the question is, where does that leave you and me in all this? Well, in Psalm 51:5, it says, "We are born into sin." And I was handing out tracts on Seaford Seafront about a year or so ago. If you don't know what tracts are, I've got one here. It looks like £1 million. And on the back, it's got a short gospel presentation, a short message, very simple, easy to read. And I was handing these out, and it's a good way to start conversations with people. And I was talking with three Muslim ladies, and they were very devout. They had the full coverings and everything. And I was explaining the same point, that we are born in sin. And I had Jeremiah, and he was just a baby then, in a pram. And they said, "No, you're not born in sin. Look at your little boy. He's so sweet and he's so lovely. There's no sin in him." And I said, "Well, he also can't feed himself and he also can't change his own nappy. But I have a toddler at home." And he is a sinner. And they all laughed, because they had kids as well. And anyone here who has kids knows that you're sinful from birth. No one teaches them to say, that you've got to be selfish, or you get angry when things don't go your way. We're born with that. We're born with, "I want to do things my way." And if you've been around kids or had kids, you know that full well. And we laughed about it, with those Muslims. But sin is not laughable. It's very, very serious. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And what God is saying is, if we've committed sin, the payment that we get is death. The wages of sin is death. And so on that third question that Mike read out, it was for you to ponder areas in your life where you know that you're sinning against God, but you just love it. You just it's just too good, and it's just too appealing. And in my, before I was a Christian, in my old work, I would love to bunk off work. And we had this car that we would drive around the farm where I worked, and I should have been working, and I was getting paid at that time. And I was, in essence, I was stealing from my boss, but it was so fun and so good, and I just loved it. But it was sin. It was complete sin. And the Bible says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. And we've all lied. We've all lied. And when we sin against God primarily. But we know God is good. And because of his goodness, he demands justice. He doesn't say, okay, well, you've sinned, but we'll just forget it. No, because he is good, he is just. And there has to be justice for sin. And for your sin and for everybody's sin. And so that brings us to the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You and I broke God's law. Jesus paid the fine on the cross. And when Jesus died and they put him in the tomb, it looked like Satan had won. And the Messiah was dead and he was buried. And it looked like evil and darkness had victory. But on the third day, then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory." And because Jesus rose from the dead, we get to share in Jesus' victory over sin and over Satan through the cross and through the resurrection of Christ. And I ask you all today, are you sharing in Christ's victory over sin? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you yielded your life to him? Have you said, not like Adam and Eve, I want to do my way, but no, my way ends in sin and death. Lord, I want to do your way. That is being born again. And John MacArthur once said, the gospel doesn't make bad men better. It makes dead men alive. And the Holy Spirit is proof of that. If God has blessed you with the Holy Spirit, he gives you a new heart with new desires. And now, I talked about the time, you know, when I love to bunk off work and drive cars around when I should be making wardrobes. But now, he has changed my heart, the fact now that I hate to sin, and I want to please him now, because of the love and the grace that he's shown me on the cross. And so, when you're born again, he gives you a new heart with new desires. And I can say that is true of me. And Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And you might say, well, what about the bad things in life that still happen? People still die, people still get sick, and things like that. And God promises, if you're a Christian, you will have trials, temptations, persecutions. And he promises you will have that. But he also promises he'll be right with you. You won't be alone going through them. He'll be right there with you, give you the help that you need to get through them, and the closeness that you need with him. And also we know now that the story isn't over yet. Revelation hasn't happened yet. We're in that time between now and Revelation. And Jesus promises to come back. Jesus promises to come back and not only be with his children, but also to completely destroy Satan. And I am looking forward to that day, I tell you. And so, in conclusion, we are born in sin, even from when we're, you know, first born. But through the cross and through Jesus' life, death and resurrection, we can be born again. And we can say, not my way, but yours, Lord, be done. So let me just pray to finish. Lord, I pray today that we'd all get a look at our sinful ways and the fact that we have gone the wrong way. We've gone the way of evil and darkness. Lord, you love us enough to bring us back with grace through your cross. We don't deserve a second chance, Lord, but you gave it freely for us because you are kind and full of grace and rich in mercy. Lord, we thank you, and I pray that people will know this today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.